Let's go ahead and pick up where we left off last week in Genesis. We looked at general thoughts and overview of Genesis. We saw that there was a lot of firsts, as Genesis is actually about firsts or beginnings. That's what Genesis actually means. And so we looked at a lot of firsts that Genesis records. And we finished. After the end of that, we're going to look at the doctrinal fundamentals taught in Genesis chapters 1 through 22. There's a lot of key doctrines that we hold to our faith that are actually started in Genesis. And so a lot of them are recorded in just the first 22 chapters of Genesis. And so when we go through the scripture, Genesis is a very important book of the Bible. We're going to go ahead and look at some of these doctrines. Now, it's not all of them, but there's some of them. And so the first one is creation, the supernatural instantaneous act of God. That's where we find how everything exists, how everything came to be. That's where we find it all, was in Genesis chapter 1. Letter B, the existence and character of God. We learned that God existed, and we learn more about the character of who God is. Letter C, the rapture. The rapture. Genesis chapter 5. The ability of God to move someone from earth to heaven. And that's what a rapture is when they're being translated or when they're being taken from earth into heaven directly. The one that is raptured, obviously, is Enoch. And so there's no explanation of where he went. He just... the Bible says God translated him. He took him directly to heaven. So that's an existence of the rapture. Letter D, the wages of sin, which is death. We see the consequences of sin. We see that death came upon Adam and his descendants because of the sin in the garden. Letter E, the curses of this life, which are found in Genesis chapter 3 and 4. Childbirth pains, low yield production of crops, entropy, fighting to stay ahead of death, the sinful nature passed upon all descendants, the woman being in subjection under her father and then to her husband, the need for governments to control its people. We see all these curses, these things that are in our world today because of what happened back in Genesis. Letter F, we see the resurrection from the dead. Letter G, we see eternal life. Eternal life. Letter H, we see three families of earth. Shem, who are the Orientals. So Shem is the first blank. The second blank is Ham. And the last blank is Japheth, sorry. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So Japheth is J-A-P-H-E-T-H. Yep. I was thinking... Japheth. So I was thinking of the guy in Judges who is Jephthah. But it's Japheth. So Shem, Ham, and Japheth are your three blanks there. Again, it's J-A-P-H-E-T-H.
Japheth, yes, sir.
Yep. Which is found in Genesis 9 and 10. The next one is we see the origination and purpose of multiple languages, which we see at the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. The next doctrine we see is the fathers of all foundation nations, which is Abraham. And not only just Abraham, but you see Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Letter K, the Messiah, is your next fill-in. The Messiah, who he will be, why he will come, and how he will come. Letter L, the world consists of only two religions, those working their way to eternal life, and those who obtain it only by God's grace. So the blanks there are working and grace. Letter M, God does and will punish sin, as he did with the flood, as he did in Sodom and Gomorrah, etc. Letter N, God's grace is shown to sinners who trust God's provided substitute. An example there is Abraham sacrificing Isaac, or going to sacrifice Isaac. The death of the Messiah in the place of the sinner. It was symbolic of what God was going to do with his own son in the exact same location. That's the cool part. Letter O, the calling out of the church or Israel out of Egypt. Letter P, God has clear laws about what is right and wrong. They're not up to individual opinions and interpretations. And letter Q, God expects man to take responsibility for his own messes. We have to have governments and courts that are law-based to maintain justice. And now with letter O, the calling out of the church out of Egypt was when Abraham was in Egypt, and through the situations there, he left Egypt and came back to Canaan. And so God was calling him to come out of Egypt. He never went back. All right, so that's those little bits here. So the next page, general outline of Genesis. It's somewhat of a brief outline. I mean, there are 50 chapters with scripture there. So we're going to kind of see a brief outline of what the book of Genesis is. And we'll be doing this for every single one of our the books of the Bible. So part one, you see early history. Starts off with the creation. Creation. And underneath creation, we see the creation of the world and creation of man. Chapters 1 through 225. And after that, we see the fall of man in chapters 3. Number 3, we see the results of unrestrained human nature. That fill in there is unrestrained. Roman numeral 4, the judgment of the flood, which is chapters 6 through 9:29. We see the cause of the flood, the judgment of the flood itself, the results of the flood, and Ham's awful sin and his lineage cursed. After that, we see the judgment of the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel, they were attempting to restore pre-flood worship. We see the family lines after the flood in chapter 10. And we see the judgment on all the family lines in chapter 11. After that, we have a different part, which is part 2, the patriarchal history. And it starts off with the life of Abraham. From chapters 11 all the way through chapter 25, 18. So there's a lot to do with Abraham. We see his introduction, who he is, where he's from, his descendancy from. You see the covenant of God with Abraham and the promises of God to Abraham. You see Sarah's impatience and the result of Ishmael coming from her impatience. You see God that fulfills his promise with Isaac and God's test of love and obedience for Abraham. So you see all those in the life of Abraham. Secondly, you see the life of Isaac. The life of Isaac, and his takes over from chapters 25:19 to 26:35. You see the family of Isaac. You see the failure of Isaac and the failure of Esau. Thirdly, you see the life of Jacob and Esau. Your two blanks there, Jacob and Esau. And those cover from chapters 27 through 36. And scripture starts off with Esau selling his birthright, chapters 25, verses 29 through 34. Then Jacob stealing Esau's blessing that was going to be his anyway, but he stole it. See Jacob's life at Haran, Jacob's return and his conversion. And then you also see Jacob's residence in Canaan and the history of Esau in those parts there. And then we go on to the life of Joseph. The life of Joseph. And in chapters 37 through 50, 26. And it starts off, we see the problems in Joseph's family and how Joseph gets sold to Egypt. And then you see the refining of Joseph. God was working on Joseph even while he was in the captivity, while he was a prisoner. And then lastly, you see the salvation of Jacob's family as Jacob helps them through the time of the famine and takes care of them when they move to Egypt. And so that's kind of a general outline, a quick outline of Genesis. The next thing there is the journeys of Abraham. There's kind of a map there that shows you all the different places that Abraham went to and wandered all around, because that's what God told him to do, is to keep on traveling around, and as he, and that all the land that he walked, God would give to him. And so you see a little bit of a map there for that. The next page, page 21, I think, or 20, 21, 22, somewhere around there for you guys, is a chapter-by-chapter outline of the events of Genesis. Now, we're not going to go through all those, but it's just basically kind of gives you an idea of what each chapter is. And then on the next page is study questions for Genesis. For this one, you can go ahead and do in your own time. Some of the things that are on there may be in the next quiz, but it's a good review to kind of look for and get the answers now, and that way you'll have them already kind of thinking in your mind for the next quiz. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get into our new stuff tonight, Exodus through Deuteronomy. So the next, the newest page here. And so you see here, Roman numeral 1, the first five books is the law. And pick up here, so we see Exodus through Deuteronomy. We see the first five books are the law. Letter A, Genesis is beginnings. Letter B, you see Exodus, which was the exit from Egypt. Letter C, Leviticus, you see rules for worshiping God. Letter D, you see Numbers, taking count over and over, preparing for the promised land, yet failing. And letter E, Deuteronomy, review of the law, going through it a second time. And these books constitute what is called the law and cover 2,700 years of world history. And then you have there kind of a very simple timeline. We see creation all the way to the flood was about 1,600 years. From the flood to Abraham was about 400. Then Isaac, Jacob, and all that. You see from Joseph to Moses was about 430 years while they were in Egypt. You see after that, the Passover, and all that kind of stuff there. And Joshua entering the Jordan River at 1350 BC. And so that's just kind of a quick outline there over the next four books of the Bible there. But we're going to go ahead now and kind of get into more detail of each one. So the next page is Exodus. And you see underneath there the Hebrew of how to... of Exodus. And so the author is Moses. So that's your first blank there is Moses. One of the key words is out. key chapters, you see in chapter 2, the birth of Moses. Chapters 12 to 14, the Passover and the Exodus. And then chapter 20, you see the Ten Commandments given. Some of the key verses in Exodus is 3:14, where God reveals that he is the I Am. So that's your fill in there. God reveals that he is the I Am. Exodus 6:3, God reveals his name, Jehovah. So those are your two blanks, I Am and Jehovah. Now there's three themes throughout the book of Exodus. The first one is redemption and deliverance. The second one is the covenant. And lastly, the land of promise. Some key people in Exodus is Pharaoh, Moses, Aaron, Miriam, which was Moses' sister, and Aaron was Moses' brother. You see Zipporah, which was Moses' wife, Jethro, which is Moses' father-in-law. You see Joshua, Bezalel, and Aholiab. Anyone know who those last two are? Anyone take a guess who those last two guys, what they were important for?
Were they like judges?
Can't remember.
They weren't judges. God put his spirit inside both these men, gave them the wisdom to be able to build and create everything with the tabernacle. So all the furnishings, all the work that went into it, Bezalel and Aholiab are the ones who put it all together. They did all the work for it. And obviously more worked on it, but he gave them the wisdom, and they hence knew how to take care and do everything that was required to build the tabernacle, to put the tabernacle together. So those two were very important in that. The key places that we have are Egypt, the Red Sea, and Mount Sinai. So we're going to go ahead and jump into the general thoughts and overview of Exodus. First of all, Exodus is the record of Israel's birth as a nation. That is when Israel begins as a nation. Number two, Exodus contains no messianic prophecies, which is, you know, is unusual, but there's no messianic prophecies in the book of Exodus. Number three, redemption is the central theme of Exodus. So redemption. Number four, the book of Exodus stresses redemption and consecration. So you're filling there is consecration.
Consecration.
Yes. Number five, Israel was redeemed from bondage in Egypt into a covenant relationship with God.
What was that again, Andrew?
Israel was redeemed from bondage in Egypt into a covenant relationship with God. And then number six, we see some pictures of Christ all throughout the book of Exodus. There's, see here, 7 different pictures of Christ. The first one is Moses. Moses is a picture of Christ. He was a prophet and the acting king or ruler of the Israelites. You see Moses, and he was a prophet, and the acting king of ruler. Underneath Moses here we're talking about, he says he was endangered in infancy, just like Christ was. Letter C, he voluntarily renounced power and wealth, just like Jesus Christ did. Letter D, he was a deliverer. He was a deliverer. So D-E-L-I-V-E-R-E-R, deliverer. Next, he was a lawgiver. And then lastly, he was a mediator between men and God. Had it not been for Moses interceding on the behalf of the children of Israel, they would have been destroyed when they were worshiping the golden calf. But Moses mediated between them, and God spared many of them, most of them. Letter B here, we see the Passover. What's your next fill in there is the Passover. More about that is in John 1:29 and 36, as well as 1 Corinthians 5:7. Next is the seven feasts. The seven feasts. Each portray an aspect of Christ's ministry. Next, you see the Exodus event and the manna and the water. the tabernacle is a picture of Christ. And lastly, the high priest, which Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, 9, 11, and 12, and verses 24 through 28 also reveal. And the high priest foreshadows the ministry of Christ. So it was kind of an illustration of how what Christ's job was going to be to us. Now, there's different types. Number seven, there's different types. First of all, Egypt is a type of the world system, opposing God's people and trying to keep them in bondage. So Egypt is a type of the world system, opposing God's people and trying to keep them in bondage. Next, Pharaoh is a type of Satan, the god of this world, who demands worship, defies God, and thinks to enslave God's people. So Pharaoh is a type of Satan. Israel is a type of the church. So there's two fill-ins there. Israel is a type of the church. Delivered from the bondage of the world, led on a pilgrim journey, and protected by God. Letter D, you see Moses is a type of Christ, God's prophet. He's a type of Christ. Letter E, the crossing of the Red Sea is a picture of the resurrection, which delivers the believer from the present world. Letter F, the manna pictures Christ as the bread of life. And you see that all contained in John chapter 6, where Jesus talks about that he is the bread of life. And just as the Israelites needed the manna that God provided every single day, we also need Christ in our life every single day. We need the Word of God in our heart and our life. We need to meditate on it for us to be able to grow and have strength. So he is the bread of life. Letter G, the smitten rock is a type of the smitten Christ, through whose death the Holy Spirit is given. Letter H, next page. Amalek is a picture of the flesh. Picture of the flesh. Opposing the believer in the pilgrim journey. And the key type in Exodus is the Passover, picturing the death of Christ, the application of his blood for our safety, and the appropriation of his life, the feeding on the lamb in our for our daily strength. All right, number eight, Exodus takes up where Genesis leaves off. So it's a chronological book. Number nine, the creation and birth of Israel was the founding of a theocracy government where God rules. That's what a theocracy is where God is in charge, not a king, not a pope, not anything like that, but actually where God is the one directing and calling the shots. And so that's what a theocracy is. And number 10, every one of the plagues was against one of Egypt's gods that they worshipped, showing that God had power over all the deities that Egypt worshipped, that he was above them all. So each one, he specifically targeted a certain aspect of the Egyptian culture and worshipping of their gods. All right, let's go ahead and we'll get down here a little bit on the outline here. And so, outline of events in Exodus. First of all, we see that Israel is in Egypt and in trouble. Pharaoh wants to control the Jewish population. They're getting too numerous, and he's afraid that if they're attacked, that the Israelites will join their enemies and overcome the Egyptians. And so, In order to stop that from happening, he puts them in bondage as slaves and tries to control the Jewish population by having the male children slaughtered. Secondly, we see Moses' early life, and the fill-in there is drawn out of the water. So that is actually what Moses means. That's what his name means drawn out. So that's what his name means. Obviously, he was named by Pharaoh's daughter because she was the one who found him. And she drew him out of the water. So that's why she called him Moses. Then once he grows up, you see that he murders an Egyptian. And as that was afflicting one of the Israelites. And when he's found out that he is a murderer, he flees to Midian and becomes a shepherd. Number three, God calls Moses in chapters 3 and 4. You see the burning bush, Moses' bad attitude and his excuses. But you see that God has a plan. You see the signs and wonders that he gives him. And that Moses needs the needs of his own home first. And then you see the people start to believe Moses that God has sent him. Roman numeral 4 there, we see the initial failure before Pharaoh in chapters 5 and 6. Aaron calls Pharaoh to believe God and to fear God. And when that does not work, more workload and the people lose faith. So Pharaoh says, you know what, since you want to take this time away, I'm going to increase your hardship. He takes away the straw that was provided for making bricks. And so the people had to find the straw themselves. And they couldn't keep up with the workload. And so they were beaten and whipped. And the people blamed Moses rather than Pharaoh. Sadly, when people have hardships in life, they always point the finger at God. And those who are trying to help them rather than the ones who are actually causing the problem. Number 5 there, Moses confronts Pharaoh all throughout chapter 7 through 12. And you see the simple miracles of the rod turned into a serpent. And Pharaoh is not impressed because his magicians are able to do the same. But the cool thing is that Aaron's rod actually eats up the two other snakes that his priests were able to do, showing that God is superior to their gods. Then after that, God sends 10 plagues. And again, these are against Egypt's gods. The first one is water turned to blood. Chapter 7 through 14 through 25. The Egyptians worshipped the Nile River because it was basically what sustained and gave them life, you know. The water and the animals and things like that. And so they worshiped the Nile River oftentimes. And so God turned the Nile River into blood and killed all the fish that were in the river, killed everything in it. And they were not able to drink. They were not able to do anything with the water. And so it was a huge hardship for the Egyptians. Secondly, you see frogs. Frogs.
What's that again, Andrew?
Frogs.
Frogs, yeah.
Yep, so that's the second plague.
Yeah.
The next one is lice. And after lice was flies. Mm-hmm. Now, these first few, actually all of the Egyptians and the Israelites were afflicted by them. But then, as a plague number 5 and below, the Israelites were protected, and the Egyptians only suffered these plagues. And so you see number 5, the plague on livestock, which was a murrain. Then after that, you see boils, which was a physical disease that basically people started to get sores all over their body. And it was not a fun plague. Many people died from it. Number 7, hail mixed with fire. Number 8, locusts. They devoured everything that was left over from the hail that destroyed the trees and the crops. So the locust ate everything else. Number 9, darkness. And the cool thing is that the darkness was only over the Egyptians. It was not over the area where the Israelites lived. And the darkness was so thick that you couldn't even see. Light wouldn't shine. It was that dark. And then lastly, we see the death of the firstborn. That was the last plague. And it was only through the last plague that the hardness of Pharaoh's heart broke and he allowed the people to leave. And we're going to have to finish there this week. So we'll pick up there. The journey begins. And so we'll continue with that. And then we should be able to get into Leviticus and Numbers next week. And so there's a lot of cool things with these books that you're going to be learning. And I'm enjoying relearning as I'm studying and going through these. And so there's a lot of great information to tuck away and to hold. As you're reading through your Bible, it'll recall maybe some things as you read through Scripture to say, now I kind of understand what that's about. You know, now I understand what the Passover really was picturing. Now I understand, you know, what the manna and the water was dealing with. It was talking about Christ and how just as they relied on God to provide, we need to rely upon God's provision as well as born-again Christians. And so there's a lot of cool things as you go through these one of these books of the Bible. And again, I wish we could go through them more in deep. But this is just kind of an overview, and so we're gonna be learning some things. But we're just gonna be kind of skimming through the top, and so we'll continue there next week.